Welcome back to Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City and KTAL-LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. I'm your host for today's show, Donna Stevens of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I'm talking with Kevin Bixby of the Southwestern Environmental Center, who, and Kevin and his group recently launched a campaign called Wildlife for All. So before the break, we were talking about that Wildlife for All campaign. And Kevin, can you tell us a little more about why this campaign is needed?
Sure. This is an area where a lot of people aren't really, you know, very familiar with, even experienced wildlife advocates. But as I was saying before the break, states have a very important role to play in the United States in protecting biodiversity. And yet, because most systems of state wildlife management, you know, the game agencies and then the wildlife commissions that oversee the agencies and the laws that are on the books that give the agencies and the commissions their marching orders, those all emerged in the late 1800s, early 1900s, in response to the decimation of populations of many game species, you know, the bison, of course, and elk and deer and bighorn sheep and pronghorn. And one response to that was the recreational hunters became organized. And they weren't the only ones that were getting organized to do something about this you know, loss, this wide-scale loss of wildlife. But they were very well organized, and they were instrumental in getting game laws passed. And then, you know, state agencies established to enforce the game laws, and then wildlife commissions to oversee the agencies and set rules and policy, et cetera. And this all happened. And, you know, this was, and Teddy Roosevelt and Aldo Leopold, folks like that, were very influential in this movement. And, you know, at the time these laws and were passed and these institutions created, the focus really was on bringing back game species. In fact, there's hostility towards carnivores. They were seen as, you know, competition for the game species, carnivores like wolves and mountain lions and jaguars and bears. And there was basically indifference towards everything else, no matter its ecological importance, because nobody knew what the ecological importance. I mean, very few people knew about it. And, you know, species like, let's say, prairie dogs. Prairie dogs are a keystone ecological species. We know that more than 100 species, other species depend on prairie dogs, for something, for food, for their burrows, you know, for the way they modify grassland habitats. And yet, in many states, prairie dogs are unprotected and even seen as a pest and persecuted. So that was the time in which the system of state wildlife management was put in place in all 50 states, more or less. But that's still the system that we have today. It hasn't evolved. It's evolved a little bit. Most states have some form of a state endangered species act. It's often pretty weak. I'd say it's pretty weak in New Mexico. And that was mostly due to the fact that the feds dangled money under the Federal Endangered Species Act to states to help protect endangered species, but only if they had a state endangered species act in place. So that's the system we have today. It's very backwards looking. It's very much focused on what we call consumptive uses, hunting, fishing, trapping. It's very much focused on managing and conserving those species that are of interest to consumptive users. And it really, the decision-making apparatus is very much biased against non-consumptive users, people that just like wildlife for their ecological value, who like to watch wildlife alive, who like to birdwatch, and basically everyone else. So that's why this system is needed. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. This is the hardest thing I've ever done in my career as a wildlife advocate, is to launch and try and make this national reform campaign, you know, take wings. But the time has come, and there's a reason why most wildlife advocacy groups have focused on the federal government and not the state government, because the Federal Endangered Species Act provides an extremely powerful tool for protecting species that are on the federal list or should be on the federal list, because it allows people to go to court and sue the government, the federal government, to force them to implement the act and also to recover attorney's fees if those citizens groups win. That has really driven a lot of the litigation in federal court to protect endangered species. But the states are much more difficult to work in. You're talking about 50 different state sets of state laws, 50 different legislatures, you know, and very few states have laws that allow citizens to sue over their state's wildlife management and recover attorney's fees. So, the price of entry for wildlife advocates is just, it's extremely high, but it has to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going to save species from extinction unless we fundamentally realign state wildlife management.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like if these systems and laws were created in the late 1800s and early 1900s, I mean, that's 120, 130 years ago. And we all know that so much has changed since then, but the state agencies haven't kept up with the times, it sounds like, which kind of leads me to my next question about the sixth extinction crisis. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The sixth extinction crisis. Well, we know that there have been at least five times in the history of life on Earth where a large number of species have gone extinct in a relatively short period of time. And, the most recent episode, wiped out the dinosaurs. It was the asteroid hitting the Earth. And, a bunch of species disappeared. They say that we are in the sixth extinction episode because we are losing species at such a rapid rate. Scientists estimate that the extinction rate now is 1,000 times faster, greater than it would be if humans were around. And this extinction episode is being caused by one species, not an asteroid, but one of the 8 or however millions of species of life there are on the planet. One of them is driving many of the others towards extinction, and that's Homo sapiens. And there's all kinds of very depressing metrics to support this. And it's been going on for 100,000 years or more. But just in the recent history, since the first Earth Day in 1970, North America's lost nearly a third of its birds, nearly 3 billion birds. There are nearly 3 billion birds less today than there were in 1970, when some of us were celebrating and marching in the first Earth Day. So a lot of bad things have happened since then. In that same time period, looking globally, terrestrial vertebrates, so we're talking about mammals, birds, fish, reptiles, amphibians, have populations of vertebrates have declined by more than two-thirds around the globe on average. So wherever you look, pick a species, a vertebrate species, and on average, those populations are two-thirds fewer than they are today. So there's all sorts of metrics. There's an estimated 1 million species now facing extinction. And, scientists call this a biological annihilation. And it's being caused by all sorts of factors. Climate change is one, habitat destruction, overkilling. That's certainly true in the ocean fisheries, where we're just catching too many fish, pollution, et cetera. So that's what this is. And it's just as much of a existential crisis as climate change is, maybe worse, because it really affects all species. Climate change is going to wreak havoc on human society, and it's going to wreak havoc with some species. But this sixth extinction is across the board a threat to life on Earth. So, we need to address it everywhere, not just in Africa or the Amazon. It needs to be addressed everywhere. It's happening here. And that's why we need a campaign like Wildlife for All.
Yeah. I mean, I think people tend to think of these huge crises like climate change and mass extinction events as happening far away. But I mean, as you said, they're happening everywhere. They're happening right here. So why are the states important for protecting our biodiversity?
Well, unless and until we have a national policy to protect biodiversity, which we don't at the moment, it's up to the states, because they have jurisdiction over everything that the feds don't, and that's most wildlife species. So they need to be champions of biodiversity. look, if it just let's look in New Mexico. Which government agency, state agency, exists to protect biodiversity? Actually, there is none. But the closest thing we have,
find that for sure.
The closest one we have with the greatest potential is our New Mexico Department of Game and Fish, which already has been authority. The legislature has delegated authority over the past 100 years to protect certain species. Again, the ones of primary, you know, of interest to hunters and anglers. And by the way, that includes the tilapia. The tilapia, a very non-native fish, is a protected species under New Mexico state law. But most native New Mexico fishes are not protected under state law. So, you know, this is just an example of one of many examples we could give. We need our state wildlife managers to reorient themselves from a focus on serving hunters and anglers. And by the way, we're not anti-hunting or angling. We just think that, there's more.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Yeah, because there's more to say about that. But yes.
Yeah. We just think that there's a more important task at hand. And time is running out. We are talking about a very short window that's rapidly closing. And we need action now, just like we need action now on climate.
Right. And I mean, it sounds like just, you know, some, you know, incremental reforms aren't going to do it. Like you said earlier, it needs to be a total transformation of how we look at this so-called managing wildlife. Are the states doing a good job currently? I mean, I guess the answer is no, or you wouldn't be looking at reform and transformation, right? But how are the states doing?
It's all over the map. Some states do a better job than others. All the states could do a better job. Probably California has is doing the best job, I'd say, in part because they have a citizens, you know, ballot initiative where they've actually established wildlife policy, like, you know, banning sport hunting of mountain lions. They banned that through the ballot box. But anyway, New Mexico is sort of in the middle of the pack. We're not terribly anti-carnivore, but then again, we no longer have wolves that the state is allowed to manage. We do have wolves in the state, but they're still listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. So the feds are still calling the shots there, you know, and then under the former governor of New Mexico, you know, we probably would have seen if wolves have been delisted, an aggressive effort to get rid of them in the state. But so the worst states are places like Idaho and Montana and Wisconsin, which are, you know, aggressively trying to eradicate wolves in those states. Once again, they had been recovered somewhat under the Federal Endangered Species. They were taken off that list and management turned over to the states, and the states in those states now are aggressively, you know, raising quotas, hunting quotas and methods. And, you know, you can kill wolf pups in their dens in Idaho now. There's actually a bounty being paid on wolves, including pups. So it's the battle over again. Those are the worst examples, but all the states really need to do better.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Kevin. We need to take a short break here. This is Earth Matters, KURU 89.1 FM and KTAL LP at 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. We'll be right back after the break to continue our discussion with Kevin Bixby about the status of wildlife in the states, New Mexico and other states, and what needs to change. So please stay tuned.